My, we sang good songs this morning. I love those, and so glad you're here to share that with us. I have a clicker. It's right here. It's on. The power of God's love. I hope you have, good. When later on, make sure that Adele gets a box of candy. She's coming in now, but later on, make sure he gets one. I hope you have your sheet here today so you can follow along. The first thing it says there is trivia. Huey Lewis sang the song, The Power of Love. What award did it win? I know you all know that. It was a pretty simple one today. You know, Dana back there saying, I know, do I win a prize? No prizes. It won the Oscar for the best song that year for the movie, Back to the Future. I want to read a couple of the lyrics from that song, because as we talk about the power of love, we want to make sure that we know the distinction between the power of our love and the power of God's love. And I'm going to move this before I knock it over. In the song, it says this: the power of love is a curious thing, makes one man weep, makes another man sing. Change a hawk to a little white dove, more than a feeling, that's the power of love. Tougher than diamonds, rich like cream, stronger and harder than a man's dream, the power of love keeps you home at night. You know, talking about those that might wander. You know, when you don't need money, you don't need fame, you don't need a credit card to ride this train. It's stronger and it's sudden and it's cruel sometimes, but it just might save your life. And then one of the verses says this: they say that all in love is fair, yeah, but I don't care. But what you know what to do, but you'll know what to do when it gets a hold of you. And when a little help from above, you can feel the power of love. I am amazed sometimes at the essence that people have a knowledge of God, but don't have the heart, don't have God in their heart. And we see these types of things. And so as he wrote this song, and we're thinking about love, we were coming home from Kalamazoo and driving through a snowstorm in Chicago. Man, I'm glad my car was white. That way nobody would hit me. They couldn't see me. You know, no. And our daughter texts us. We had left, Valentine's for the kids, little sacks that Grandma makes up and puts candy in them, and they're so cute. And on the outside is a little heart. And the little four-year-old had told her mom, she said, Grandma and Grandpa love me, because of the gift. And we were just sitting there, both of us, aren't we great grandparents, But, we as human beings look at love and we see all these things that we think love is. And it is. I mean, there's human love. God gave us the capacity to have that human love. And those of us that know Christ as our Savior have an even greater. We're going to look at that in just a moment in the scripture. Because it can just really abound. And so I was thinking about us guys. Because even though the ladies get the Valentine's candy and the Valentine. And by the way, I told you. I did turn it on. You probably can't see it. That went to Sandy in elementary school. I gave that to her. She has the original with her today, if you don't believe me. We guys, we got to do what we need to do. And throughout history, wars have been fought over women. Football games have been lost in high school because of women. I've known of some of those, and some of the guys that were just, oh, my girlfriend broke up with me. Before homecoming game, quit it, And then in college, miss a class. Why? Because, I got a dear John letter from my girl back home. And, I can't, So guys, I don't know about how that affects ladies. Probably it's about the same. But all through our lives, there's been times when we have known the power of human love to the negative and then to the positive. Heights that men and women would go to show their love for someone, to show in a time of need, in a time of danger. You know, when a man would or a woman would step up to save the life of their children, another loved one. And so we know that it is a powerful thing. And as was read this morning, on the right side, we see that Jesus, they said, what commandments? You know, Jesus took the Ten Commandments and divided them in half like they are. And he said, the greatest of these, and we have an underline here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Ooh, that's the first and greatest commandment. We have to start there. Because if we don't do that, we can't do the rest of what we're going to be talking about today. If we have held back anything from God, we're breaking the first commandment. One day, I was coming home, and I was driving my old crummy Oldsmobile. No, it wasn't old crummy, it was my Oldsmobile. And I went by a car dealership, and there was a Corvette there. And I hit the brakes. I didn't hit the brakes. I think God did it. No, I did it. And I bought the Corvette. I'm a guy that's got two kids and a wife, and we don't even fit in it. Oh, but I loved it. I washed it every day. I did. You know, I polished the headlights. Ooh, you know, make it go whoom, 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 you know. Guess what I did? I took part of what love that I should have had, and I put it into an object, and I broke the commandment. Because a man that loved, in my situation, I'm not saying Corvettes are wrong, in my situation, that purchase showed that I wanted something else more than I wanted the love of God and more than I wanted to take care of my family. And so the first commandment, and the second, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you kidding me? You don't know my neighbor. I know I don't. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? That means not to covet, not to lie, not to steal, all the rest of the commandments. I'm not going to do that for my neighbor if I love him like myself. So as we're setting the base for what we're going to be talking about today, we have to start here. And we have to start in those scriptures knowing if I'm not, let me back up. I have to ask a question. Maybe I need to figure this out. If I'm not obeying God, am I sinning? Oh, I guess I am, aren't I? Oh, my. Maybe the first thing we need to do this morning is examine our own hearts. Are we loving the Lord, the God, with everything we have? Do we love and cherish that neighbor just like we cherish ourselves? Take a couple moments. We're going to pray. Ask God to be with us during the rest of this sermon. But just look into your heart. If there's anything there that we need to say, Lord, well, forgive that. I want to confess that to you. Let's do it. I was in the office this morning, and I got there early because it's so cold. I don't know why what does that make a difference? Oh, it's cold today. I better get the office early. You know, turn up the heat, put this coal on the fire, like, you know, I don't know. But I was there a little early and praying, and God showed me a few things in my life. Oh, Lord, man, I need to confess those. I need to do that. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and as we open your word, as we look into this wonderful, wonderful subject, the power of your love, Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for who you are, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, who makes this all real to us and through us. In his name we pray, amen. 1215 A.D., King John wrote the greatest document ever written to do what? To free man. In England during that time, there was you were a serf, you were a servant, you had no last name until 1215. Isn't that weird? Just think if you didn't have a last name. Hey, there is John. Yeah, John who? I don't know. He's John. No, he's John the blacksmith. Who's that? Well, that's John the leather tanner. Who's that? Well, that's John the bread maker. And so the king said, this is getting crazy. We got to have everybody a last name. And so that's how we got, the names that people have that came from England, from what they were doing usually or something associated with their livelihood. You know, we, the Woodstocks, were probably lower class serfs that made sure that the wood was there for the people in castles or in nice homes or whatever. So the Woodstock, in our area there, outside of London, Woodstock. And so, John wrote this Magna Carta, and you can all read it. You can't read it from there. But what it did is free up man, gave them liberty. And the people were just rejoicing for it. And then, you know the story, I'm sure, Pope Pius IV. And what did he do? He ripped it up. He ripped it up. No way are people going to have control. We're the church and we control everything. And he ripped it up. And from that point on in history in England, for quite some time, there was unrest and civil disobedience, and it was a mess. And so the document that we saw up there was just thrown out. Well, good news. You today hold in your hand God's Magna Carta. And one of the greatest books in this, I want you to turn today to John. And we're going to look at the book of John quite a bit today. John just wrote about love. He wrote about God's love. And so as we look in the book of John, just in chapter 1. Oh, that's Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Oh, then John. Okay, I got it. I was going to read to you the first 7 verses or so of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it or overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Let me go on. I'm in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Talking about Jesus. Well, you see, John started reading this, and I tell you what, this book just boggles your mind. It cannot be understood outside the supernatural. If you read this and God's not directing you, you're going to say, what is that about? But if we read it in God, sometimes a person becomes a new Christian and you say, you know what, start in the book of John. And they start to read it, and as they've accepted Christ and God is working through them, they see things and they'll come to you and say, you know what I just read? Is that true? Yeah, that's true. Did God really said that? Why did he write that? He wrote it for you. And so we have this wonderful, wonderful letter. It's so deep, and it talks about so many things, and as we look into it, we see the roots of love, salvation, all of the things. And we also see, I believe, as we go through it, that I got a big responsibility as a pastor. As we look into as we're going to go into Colossians in a little bit and see what Paul said about this, I have the responsibility to make sure you know this. Well, won't the Holy Spirit teach me, Pastor? Yes, he will, but he's also enabled some of us to be teachers, the gift of the Spirit, and to be preachers. And so if I have been given that by God to stand in front of you, man, make sure that you listen. It's not me. It's God's word. And let's look at this verse by verse for just a little bit. Verse 1. What's the word? The word's Jesus. Why did John write so differently than the Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Where was John when he was writing this? Remember? He was in Ephesus. He was a pastor. And he was talking to a group of people that were mostly Greek. And the Greeks were not looking for a Messiah, were they? But when he put down, the word, they knew what logos was. And the Greeks were philosophers and had great minds, and they were thinking, he is, he's orders, he does. With the Greeks, the universe was always in flux. You never knew what was going to happen next, but God gave direction. And so that very first verse, when John penned that by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it said, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the order of things the one of the Trinity had, they started to take note. And then that's verses 1 and 2. And in verse 3, it's, you know, we have all these things were crafted by God. And John lets us know what, if all things are crafted by God, does that mean us? It does. We're a craftsmanship of God. If we were to go back and in our minds, and I hope that you do for just a second, to the beginning. And God says, let there be light. Let there be trees. Let's make man in our image. Let's give him a helpmate. Oh, guys, it's yours. It's yours. Have dominion over it. Oh, what beauty. What love. What love that God would make. Did God make that for himself? For his glorification, so that we would see it and glorify God? The heavens declare his glory. The Psalms tell us, but he made it for this man and this woman to come together and to enjoy. Say, I love you. This is yours. Isn't that wonderful? And so verse 3 says this. He says, you know, he is the craftsman of everything. And in verse 4, he starts to tell us, he talks a little bit about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, talking about him. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We've got something that's coming in that is so light that there's no darkness that can dispel it. Love again. Love again. John is writing a love letter, and sometimes I think I have read it and not even noticed it. Every part of this first few verses is showing me God's love. I mean, God loved me. Yeah, he loved you so much that he knew you were going to be in a dark, dark world with sin rampant and things going on that we can't even begin to comprehend, those of us that have a moral compass that is based where it should be. And God said, you know what? Because of that, you need light. And the light that I'm going to give you is the same light that was there when? At the beginning of creation. Verses 4 and 5, the light. Verse 10, let's jump up to verse 10. I don't think I read that. I'm going to read that again. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. Oh my, what a sad verse. The world, he was there, he'd created it, and the world didn't recognize him. Story's told, and I'll tell the story quickly, about a man that was in Arkansas, and he came into a Walmart store, and he drove his old rickety pickup truck in. And he got out and hooked up his bib overhauls and walked in, and the guy that was the greeter, you know, the old man like me, you know, welcome to Walmart. He saw this old guy coming, and he looked kind of grungy, and he didn't even say anything to him. And the man said, good afternoon. He said, oh, yeah, good afternoon. Said, can I help you with anything? He said, no, I'm just here to look at my store. Sam Walton, you know. Came into his own store, and his own store didn't recognize him. So we can understand that, can't we? How that someone could come somewhere and do something and be somewhere and somebody not even recognize them. The creator of the world, the one that loved us, came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, we're not puppets. We do not have to accept the love that God's given to us. God didn't say, when Jesus comes, all you Israelites, you Hebrew, all of you will throng around him, it's my decree, and bow down before him. Now that comes later. We read that in Revelation. This time he came and they had the option, and they didn't receive him. Verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, look at that word, children of God. The right to become children of God. What a love verse. What a Valentine written for us. I mean, God sent it to us. Here it is. John wrote it. God sent it to us. Here's my Valentine. If you have received me, you have the right to become my child. Oh, that's cool. That is so good. Some of us had wonderful moms and dads, and some of us didn't. You know, and that's the earthly mom and dad. What we have here is the Father that gives everything and holds nothing back, who loves us with a love that was so tremendous that when Christ died on the cross, he couldn't even look at the sin that we had committed that was on Christ. Oh, what love. Oh, the power of love. Wow. But it's only an invitation. You know, it's not an automatic. You know, and there are those that teach that, you know, but to all the who did not receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who know, who've heard, and then believe. Excuse me. Verse 13, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. He loved us. He loved us. He sent us this great big Valentine again. Valentine's Day, what a day to talk about the power of God's love. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know, and I've had these guys, since I've been here, the men tell me and the people tell me, I have done this, and God, I don't think he can love me now. No ifs, no, just all you have to do is believe. Wow. Oh, all right, let me go on. I'm getting caught up here. Verse 14. Okay, verse 14 is cool. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I think John here is talking about the transfiguration. When Christ was on the mountain and John saw the glory. And God, what's John saying here? Wow, you know what I saw? I saw what you are all going to see. Christ glorified. What? Why? How? What? And guess what? You are going to be too. Transfigured. Transformed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If he receives us to himself before we pass away. If not, we'll be in heaven with him, and then our bodies will be made holy and righteous and accept. Oh, we'll just have wonderful things happening, you know, and that it will be transformed. I think John here was just doing a little sidebar. He loved me so much, he allowed me to see this. He allowed me to see it. Wow. Story of Jesus. All expressions of love. Every gospel has that, doesn't it? Matthew takes us through the genealogies of Jesus and brings us lovingly to where he was born and his ministry. Mark, you know, the prophecy that was given by God. Why? Because he loved us and he wanted to know that it was true. What happened? He was born in Bethlehem. Why? It was prophesied. Born of a virgin? How do we know? It was prophesied. You know, over all of those years and all the men that wrote all came together so beautifully because of God's love. Happy Valentine's Day, God says. It's here for you. Luke, the presentation of Christ, the loving King. Oh, the baby that born in a manger that would be the King. And then John, this loving beginning of creation and God sending Christ to love us. I just don't understand it. Why would God love me? Well, turn with me if you want to, or you can just listen. Am I caught up here at all? I'm not, am I? I'm sorry. Okay, we were just there. See, what God has done for us has given us a banquet of love. If we were not in COVID, we're going to have soup together, and that's good. But if we hadn't been in COVID, we would have had a Valentine dinner, because I like those. you know, and we have good food at Valentine's dinners, and we have red tablecloths and white plates, and, you know, and we really go all out for Valentine's, you know, and the men serve. Those are cool things. Well, God has said to us, you know what, I love you guys so much, I'm going to do this for you once a year. No, every day. Every moment. He said, you're sitting at the banquet that I have prepared for you in my word, so there's nothing you'll ever need. There'll never be a time when you won't know that I love you. Well, no, Pastor. This happened and I didn't feel God's love. I didn't say that, did I? Sometimes I don't feel God's love. Sometimes I feel a million miles away. That's me. It's not God. But we can always know God's love. You know, I think what we've done in America is we've kind of dumbed down church and religion. And we've made it things that it's not. You know, we've made it things like, and I'm going to say some things that if you don't like it, I don't care. No, there's some things that I'll just say them. I'm not going to preface everything I say today. You know, there are things that go on in churches today that some people say, well, that's not praising God. I certainly wouldn't do that in a Baptist church. Or I wouldn't do that, you know, and I don't know. But I think we've dumbed down churches and we've had religions become a what? A feel good. Well, I'm praising Jesus because I feel, and I'm waving my hand. Hey, waving hands is not wrong, but if it's just a feeling, it is. Well, I feel like boy, if we would do our job the way some people do Christianity, no work would get done. Very seldom do I feel like, no, I do. I love going to that study. I like to read, and I go there and read and read and read. And, but sometimes when I was doing a job, I didn't feel like going to do my job. If I would have stayed home and I would have called in, I said, you know what, I just don't feel like it. You sick? No, not sick. I just don't want to be there. Well, that's okay, buddy. Stay home. You know, no, they wouldn't say that. They would say, well, good, because your replacement's sitting right here next to me. And we need to take ourselves and take two steps back and begin to look at worship. Worship, look at praise. Look at responding. What do we do? We're responding to this love when we're here corporately. And we can do whatever we do as long as we're doing, showing love for God. Oh, I love music. You guys know that. I love the songs this morning. And don't tell Lisa I told you this. She has a beautiful voice. You know, and I would be content to have some services that were all music if we were praising God. I would. Except that we're told to teach the word also. So what I'm saying by saying all of this is, if God loved us as much as he did, and the power of God is revealed in everything he has shown us, let's not shortchange anything in worship, in serving. And obeying. Going right back to our first question today. Are we obeying? Are we loving God with all everything? See, if I love God with everything and somebody beside me worship God by raising their hand, I wouldn't hit Sandy and nudge her and say, look at that. What do you think she's doing? I'd say, man, she loves God. Look at her worshiping God. If somebody ever, when Nevin's not here, say amen sometime. I hope that no one, you hear what they said? They said amen out loud. What's amen? Amen means in your heart, God has told you, let it be. So let it be. I like it. What God has said, I'm agreeing with it. And so let's make sure that we worship and we obey and we don't just because somebody else did it. Somebody else said it. But I got way off Colossians, didn't I? Let me go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to end there today. Colossians is in the New Testament, and it's on a page number or something. Ephesians. There we go, right after Philippians. Paul is writing this, and he's telling us some things about God's love. Okay. There we go. I guess I've missed a few of the slides of the PowerPoints along the way, didn't I? Tough. I'm sorry. You're not gonna, if you want them, you can come up and look at them later. Paul is writing, and he's talking about the hope of glory. And he's going to say later on here about Christ in him. But I want us to make sure that we are fully aware of some things here. And Paul is telling, I'm going to read to you chapter 1 of Colossians, verses 24. Let's see, I think I'm going to read all the way 24 through the end of the chapter. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filled up with what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I have become a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed for his saints, and that is talking about the mystery of salvation. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, this mystery, which is Christ in the hope of glory. Him who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that his power works within me. You can tell when I study in the King James and read in the ESV, can't you? It's a little bit different. I try to go back to the old words. But what I want to tell you here is just three things. Number one, we are fully aware of God's word. We have it. And what does that mean? Well, that means God loves us. He gave it to us. It was bound up and it was put in, boy, God put it in some really nice leather, a man did, and he said, here you go, it's all yours. And over that period of time, it just was able to be printed, and then it became even easier to print, and then the Wycliffe people took it and made it in other languages, and we have it in Hispanic, the Spanish versions, and it's available to everyone. Why? Because God loves us. He doesn't want any. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can't do it without the word of God. So number one, let's be thankful today and be glad today that God has given us so that we are fully aware of God's word. Number two, it takes us right back to John chapter 1, doesn't it? We are filled with Christ, the hope of glory. That's verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're Gentiles, guys. Unless you're a Jew here and I don't know it. We're Gentiles. It came to us. It's a gift. You know, the Christ, the hope of our glory. Again, God says, Happy Valentine's Day, guys. You know, here's your Valentine. And Paul is letting everyone know that we are fully aware of God's word, and now we are filled with Christ, our hope of glory. The third one, you are filled with God's power. Verse 29, for this I toil and struggle with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. It's not just Paul, it's us. We have the availability of using the complete power of God for whatever we need. But you know, I've said this before, we're in America, so we don't need much of it. You know, they do in other countries, but we don't. It's neat seeing missionaries that I know, and I'm here, and I know, you know, of course, Tom, and then I know Egerts and family. And, you know, we don't. Of course we do. Every day we need the complete power of God in every aspect of our life. Because we live in America. And it's so easy to do it on my own. You know? Hey, I'd be nice to pray to God and thank him for this food. But, hey, I worked. And I got a paycheck. And I bought this food. You know what? It's nice to ask God for safety as we're traveling, but I got a pretty nice car and it's got radars on the side that tell me if anybody's near me. I'm okay, God. I don't see. We get to that mentality, and we discount some of the reality. We can't do it. See, all power we have is through Christ. And you say, well, but yeah, you can use your power. Sure you can. Your knowledge, your intellect, and that's just what it is, yours. Wouldn't you rather use the King of Kings? Lord of Lords? He gives it to you? Wow. I got to tell you, falling in love with God is a, you know, like Huey Lewis said, it's a really cool thing. Love, the power of love. I can usually tell in about a 5 to 7 minute conversation, even with a pastor or a missionary, they're even more in tune with God, some of them, how much they're working through God's power and how much they're working through their power. I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and in that first 5 minutes, I would say 20 minutes, he told me what he was going to do in his church so that his people... Boy, I never say that. I never have, oh, God, strike me if I do. I was preaching his word to his people in his church to glorify him through his power. Why? Because he loves me. Oh, he loves me. That brings us isn't that a cool word? Don't you hate it, ladies and men who shop? I'm not a shop. When you go into the store and you get a coupon and it says one per customer. No, I don't. What if God says, you know what? I'm going to give you this amount of love today. Don't use it all up first thing in the morning. You got a whole day to go. I like it when I go to the store, I get a coupon and it says I can buy all the whatever I want to buy. Usually, if Aldi's ever gets frozen turkey breast in, they've been out for 4 months. I don't know what. You know, if they said, here's a coupon for turkey breast, half price, I would fill up my basket. You know, limitless, that's great. Limitless is good. We act sometimes like when God says, everything I give you is limitless. It's like, well, that's good for these guys over here. And then, but I, you know, I'm gonna ration mine out. You know, don't ration God's love. Don't ration God's power. It's limitless. It's limitless. Sandy Woodstock, her name used to be Warden, W-O-R-D-E-N. She was a farmer's daughter, kind of. And she lived in Allegan, Michigan. And she was a person I knew all my life. Kindergarten. I met her in kindergarten. And she was a nice person. I liked her. Friend. See her. They moved away from our town. She was over visiting her friends. And one day, I'm a student at Moody, and I'm back doing some things in Michigan during the break, winter break, first year. And I see her sister, Marcia, who's also a Moody grad. You know. She's a Moody, I'm not a Moody grad, I only, but other places decided to give me a diploma. Moody didn't do it. No, you're not good. No. But anyway, go back to my story here. I said, hey, Marcia, what's Sandy doing? She said, oh, Sandy's doing this, this, and this. I said, hey, how about, you think it'd be okay if I just call her and say hi? No, that's nothing wrong with that, right? Okay. I hope everybody agrees with that. Yeah, here's their number, 673. You know, she gave me the number. And I called her up. I didn't fall in love with her till the second date. I didn't, you know, I'm a slow learner. No. Isn't it wonderful when we know the love is there and we can take it and it can become part of us? I don't want to take any wrong assumptions this morning, but I believe from what I've talked with most of you that you at one point in your life came to that same point with Jesus. When you said, he loves me. And I love him. I'm drawn to him. And he's the one that brings us to him. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. And we come to him and we have that communication with him and we grow in that love and we become, as John said, just completely taken over by it. If there was someone here today that sat in there and said, you know what, I know about Jesus. He was a great guy from what I see. But I don't know if I'm in love with him. And this morning would be a wonderful time to talk with one of us and say, you know what, can you explain that love to me just a little bit more? And for those of us that do know Christ, we do understand the limitlessness of what we have in him. As Lisa comes and Jeff comes and we're going to sing that chorus again, they will know we are Christians by our love. Is what we're giving to the world a limitless love? Are they saying, because of what I see in that person or that person, I want to know more about that Jesus? Well, we're going to sing one verse of this. We're going to stand to sing this, if you would, and then remain standing for the benediction. Again, I want to thank you for the love that I feel and see from this group to the Lord first. And then to Sandy and I as we minister with you. Lisa, would you lead us?
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray.
Oh, now to him that is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of the glory of with great joy to the only God, our Savior, through Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. Oh, God bless you, folks. Stay for the business meeting right next door. Yeah, you're dismissed. Thank you, guys.